Now we're talking about the psychology of closing. The psychology of closing is very, very important for us to understand. Closing is the most painful part of the sales presentation. Closing is the part that we as salespeople hate the most. We become the most tense about it, the most reluctant, and it is also the part that the customer hates. As it gets closer and closer to the close, the person gets tenser and tenser. And our job as salespeople is to structure the sales presentation in such a way that we go to the close and we go smoothly through the close. It's almost like there's a bump at the end of the road, and we have the approach, and we have the presentation, and we have the part where we arouse desire, and then we have this bump where we have to get into action. And our job is to get the person over that bump as smoothly as possible, to make it as painless as possible. And I think the best example of what I mean is the story of the old fellow calls up his dentist, and he says, "Bill," he said, "I got this rotten tooth, and it's got to come out, and I just wonder how much you charge me to pull a tooth." And he said, "Jack," he's known him for years and years, he says, "Well, Jack," he said, "charge $35 to pull a tooth." He said, "Well, geez," he says, "Bill, that's a lot of money. How long does it take?" He said, "Well, it takes about a minute." He said, "$35 for 1 minute?" He said, "Isn't that ridiculous?" He said, "That's absurd." He said, "Well, Jack," he said, "if it's the time that's bothering you," he said, "I can take as long as you like." You see, we have an obligation to our clients to go smoothly through the close so that it's as painless as possible, because whenever we reach the point where we're making a buying decision, we start to feel tense, we start to feel nervous, our solar plexus starts to tighten up, sometimes our heart rate goes up and our throat goes dry. And especially if it's a big decision, we become very, very uneasy, because often these decisions are irrevocable. We have this great fear of failure, and our job is to sweep the person through the close as rapidly as possible once their buying desire has been aroused, and get them past the close and into wrapping up the details of the purchase. So our job is to plan the close in advance. And it's very interesting. Some people say that what you should do is you should plan your close in detail and then build your sales presentation on top of it, instead of planning the sales presentation and putting the close on top of that. Plan exactly how you're going to close. And wherever you're in a sales presentation and it's obvious that the person's interest and desire has been aroused enough, then you swing into the close automatically, and you have a step-by-step 3, 4, 5, 6 steps where you go straight through the close. You should know that so that you can do it in your sleep. All sales professionals have their closes planned word for word in advance. All amateurs, all people who spin their wheels in frustration year after year, just fly by the seat of their pants every single time it comes to the end of a conversation with their heart pounding and their heart in their throat and sweat on their forehead and hoping and praying with their fingers crossed under the desk that the person will take it. Major requirements for closing. You must be positive, enthusiastic, and eager to close the sale. The customer's requirements must be clear to you. You must know what it is that they want and need. The customer must understand what you're offering and must understand the value of what you're offering to them, which you found out from asking questions. The customer must believe you, and they must believe your company. They must trust you. There must be a degree of rapport and friendship. The customer must desire to enjoy the advantages of the offer. There's no point in trying to close the person. Have you ever been on a used car lot where you walk on and you look at the car and somebody comes up and says, "Why don't you buy it?" And you turn around and you say, "How can you make a living selling with as insulting a line as that?" You've looked at the car for 3 seconds and they come up and ask you to make an offer on it. Why don't you make an offer? You don't even want the car yet. The product must be suited to the customer. In order to avoid high-pressure selling, those 4 requirements are necessary. The prospect must want it, the prospect must need it, the prospect must be able to afford it, and the prospect must be able to use it. Very, very important. The only pressure that you use in a professional selling presentation is the pressure of the silence after the closing question. The president of this company was buying a $350,000 computer to put everything on computerized operations. And the computer company had been in, done an analysis, checked it out in every detail. They had prepared a proposal. They'd come back. They had put together the whole sales package, and they were coming in for the close. And he wanted to see how this computer salesman was going to close a $350,000 sale. So they came in, and the president of the company had his controller and had his accountant waiting to go over the final details. The salesman came in with his engineer and his computer programmer, and they sat down, and they went through the proposal, explained how it would be installed, what would be involved, what the warranties would be, how much help they would give them, additional consulting, and right down to every single ingredient, and then the price, and then the total price, and the final contract. And he said, and if you will just authorize this right here, we'll get started on it right away. And he ticked it, put the pen on it, and pushed it across the desk. And the president of the insurance company said, I saw it coming. He said he was going to use the silent close on me. I knew exactly what he was doing, and I just smiled at him. And he knew exactly that I knew exactly that he knew that I knew what he was doing. And so he smiled back at me, and I smiled back at him, and he smiled back at me, and we sat there for 15 minutes. And I was going to see if he was going to crack. And for 15 minutes, we sat there smiling, and there wasn't a sound in the room. And finally, he said, I signed it, and we both laughed. The pressure of the silence after the closing question. Recognizing buying signals. Well, these are common buying signals. The customer will begin talking faster, or will brighten up, or will ask about price. Sometimes the customer asks about delivery. Sometimes the customer changes posture or begins calculating numbers. Sometimes the customer asks smokescreen objections. Any noticeable change in attitude, posture, voice, or behavior can indicate that a buying decision is near. When you sense that, when the person starts changing or fidgeting or calculating numbers, say, well, when would you like us to get started with this? Or would you like us to get going with this right away? Or how many would you like us to deliver? Or would you like us to deliver to your office or to your warehouse? Ask a closing question whenever you see the person beginning to change demeanor. Reasons why the close is difficult, we've talked about this before, but let's just review them quickly. First of all, the salesperson's natural fear of rejection. We're very, very uneasy about being rejected, so we're afraid to subject ourselves to a no. The solution to the fear of rejection is simply this. Do the thing you fear, and then the death of fear is certain. Keep confronting what you fear over and over again. Keep asking for the order over and over again until you get to the point where you don't have a nerve in your body when it comes to the close. This is very, very important. The fear of failure on the part of the customer, fear of purchasing the wrong article, fear of paying too much, fear of criticism for making a wrong choice. Do you know how many wives hold off making choices because they're afraid of what their husbands will say? How many husbands because of what their wives will say? How many business people because of what their partners will say? Remember, this fear of being criticized for making a wrong choice is a strong, strong subconscious fear that holds people back. Human inertia, laziness, is a real block to making a change. People are comfortable. They're in their comfort zone doing what they've been doing up to now. Sometimes you can have a cheaper product, a better product, a more attractive product, but it's just not enough, it seems, to get that person to change from their current supplier. And that means you're going to have to work on them, and you're going to have to work, and you're going to have to come back, and you're going to have to keep giving them more and more reasons. The reluctance to make a decision because the buying decision can be so emotional. We know that there's always stress at the point of a buying decision. Whenever we feel stress, whenever we feel it coming out of our comfort zone, we push away. And that's why you have to get past the close as quickly as possible, or often you'll be sunk. And remember, the way that you overcome these obstacles or these objections is to be very, very positive in yourself, very eager to close, very enthusiastic. 5 closing errors to avoid. Telling the prospect he's wrong, arguing, trying to win. Never, never argue with a prospect. Never tell them that they are wrong. Never tell them that their assessment of your product is wrong. There's an old saying that a man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. So instead of saying, Mr. Prospect, you're wrong, say, well, Mr. Prospect, that's a very valid concern. And many of our other customers have had those concerns. And here's a couple of letters from people who had exactly these concerns. For instance, all the time, people are saying, your product is too highly priced. It's really too expensive for today's market. And you have sold them. Then get letters from these people that said, when we first saw this product, we felt that it was too highly priced for today's market. But then we went ahead and bought it, and this is what we found, and we're glad we did. In other words, get proof that can back it up. Get what is called third-party proof. So it isn't you saying that it's a good idea. It's somebody else who has been in the same position as the customer. Expressing your opinions to a prospect on subjects of a personal nature, religion, politics, labor unions, health, family, so on. Don't talk about personal subjects to prospects. Even if they want to talk about them, skirt them very, very carefully, because you can get embroiled in a discussion that will lead nowhere. Don't ever knock the competition. If your competition's name is brought up and they say, what do you think about ABC Company that they deal with? You say, Mr. Prospect, ABC Company is an excellent company. They have excellent products. However, many of the people who are buying our products once used ABCs, and they switched to us, and would you like to know the reasons why? And then concentrate on selling the values and benefits of your product, but never knock your competition. And finally, the last two, assuming authority that you don't have. Don't ever make promises you can't keep, and don't ever engage in overselling or saying that the product can do something that it cannot do. We had a situation recently where an office equipment salesman lost a $6,000 sale for a very, very expensive automatic copier and printer because he said it would do something that it couldn't do. And he lost the sale, and his commission on that was probably $1,000. And he had oversold it. He hadn't bothered to check the specifications and find that it wouldn't do it. As soon as I saw the machine, I said, it won't do what it's been bought to do. The guy said, oh, yes, it will. I said, no, it won't. I can just tell by looking at it. And as it turned out, it couldn't, and they lost the sale, and they lost an enormous amount of credibility. Okay, finally, the major obstacles to closing. Number one is negative expectations. Negative expectations are what we call prejudgment. The salesperson decides in advance that this person is not going to buy because this person is either negative or this person looks shabby or this person is not well-dressed or the person's office is in a shambles and so on. Negative prejudgment, deciding in advance that the person is not going to buy, completely takes all the enthusiasm out of you. It just sort of causes you to be dispirited, and you don't put your best into that sales presentation, and you don't sell. A very good friend of mine used to sell personnel services, and one day he went, and he was calling in a warehouse area, and he went into this warehouse, and there was one person with one desk in this great empty warehouse in the back. There were no offices, no partitions. It was obviously just been thrown together. There's only this one person. He called him a fellow anyway. He said he's in the business personnel selection, and what they do is they find technical staff and personnel, engineers, technical people, draftsmen, as well as secretaries and accountants and bookkeepers for engineering companies or construction-oriented companies. The fellow said, well, we've got nothing going on now. I've just been sent out here to open this office, and we're trying to get some contracts, but we don't have any business at all. But he says, if you want to call back, you know, I'll be here. So he called back. He called back every month when he went through that area. He called back the same answer each time. He always treated the fellow extremely well. He gave him information. He called him up and kept in touch with him on the phone. One day he walked in. The guy said, I'm so glad you came in. He said, we just got a $10 million contract up in the north, and we're going to have to hire 70 staff, and we're going to have them all on board within 60 days. Can your company handle it? They made almost $200,000 in commissions in the next 60 days hiring highly pegged technical staff and filling them in, bringing them in from different parts of the country. And yet, the only reason that happened is because he kept treating that person like they could be or would be a valuable prospect. Very important. Lack of enthusiasm. Nothing will kill a sale faster than lack of enthusiasm. You must really, really want to close. If you don't want to close, if you don't want that sale, if you don't want that business, the customer isn't going to give it to you. You've got to be really keen and eager. Lack of sincerity. When the salesperson becomes more concerned with earning the commission than with benefiting the customer, their voice changes, their personality changes, they start to sound like a Cheshire cat looking at a canary or looking at a fish in a goldfish bowl, and the customer picks it up immediately. So it's very important that you think and keep your mind concentrated on what you can do for your customer. Number four is important, different wavelength. Very often we find that we get onto a different wavelength with our customers. We meet somebody that we just don't have anything in common with. For instance, a professional person may meet a blue-collar worker. A snappy person may meet a laid-back person. An analytical-type person may meet an emotional or relationships-oriented person. In each of these cases, we say hello, they say goodbye. We say up, they say down. We just don't seem to be getting anywhere. When that happens, accept it as a reality. Accept that occasionally you're going to run into people that you don't hit it off with. It isn't that either one of you are better or worse. It just means that you're different. And instead of losing the customer for your company, have somebody else in your company call on them and see them whose personality is more compatible with them. Very, very important. In many companies where we've introduced this, they have what is called tag team selling. No customer is allowed to be written off until they've spoken to at least two representatives from the company, just in case it's a personality clash, which is very common. And, of course, the last one is when perhaps the customer doesn't like the salesperson or the salesperson doesn't like the customer. Sometimes an older customer will not like a younger salesperson and vice versa. Sometimes a man won't like a woman or a woman won't like a man. Sometimes we don't like a person because of their accent or way of dressing or whatever it happens to be. If that happens, back off, because you can never sell to somebody you don't like. And nobody will ever buy from somebody they don't like. So if you see that situation happening, what we do is we say, Mr. Prospect, could you wait just a second? I want to get the real expert on this product to talk to you. He knows far more about it than I do. And excuse yourself politely and go and get somebody else who may be in better tune with this individual and introduce the two and excuse yourself and back off. And try to keep the business for your company rather than losing it because you're not getting along like $1 million.